This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين ونصلي ونسلم على خاتم النبيين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala As we always do, we praise Him, we seek His assistance and guidance and we seek refuge in Him from the evil of ourselves and the adverse consequences of our deeds. We testify that whomsoever He guides, none can misguide, and whomsoever He misguides, none can guide. And we request praises and blessings upon our teacher, our master, our leader, the best of creation, the final messenger, the seal of all prophets, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammad. I bear witness that there's no one worthy of worship besides one Allah and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger. To my dearest brothers and sisters in Islam joining in across our platforms, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook and Clubhouse, I greet you with the greetings of peace, the greetings of Islam, the greetings of the people of paradise. Salamullahi alaykum wa rahmatuhu wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon you all. And I welcome you all to episode 30. Of our final season, season 4, of our Fiqh of Seerah series, Blast from the Past, Seerah in the 21st century. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and praise Him for bringing us here, subhanallah. It's not a journey of just began this Ramadan. This Ramadan was a resumption of the journey. This series of ours is a journey of a few Ramadans, and indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most deserving of all praises for making dreams come true, for preserving us in His obedience and giving us the life and health to pursue what we dream to achieve, to sit in the gardens of the inheritance and teachings of the final messenger, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is episode 30, brothers and sisters in Islam, subhanallah, which means this is the 30th day of Ramadan, or at least the 30th where I am, because we started this journey together on the 1st of Ramadan, where I am. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our month in full. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Brothers and sisters in Islam, today is a difficult lesson, but a lesson that has to be, it has to happen for us to achieve our completion. I'm not the best of people to teach you this lesson. There are people better, more righteous, more knowledgeable that deserve to be discussing the final moments with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with you all. But nonetheless, this is the test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon me, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make me worthy. Brothers and sisters in Islam, in being true to our style, in being true to the series at hand, this is not a narrative-based series, as we've said many a time. It's a fiqh of seerah series, and as such, I won't be taking us through the final moments of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, narration per narration, but rather, as is our norm, we will zoom into moments and then zoom out and then zoom into other moments, moments that we want to use to deduce lessons that will help us today in the 21st century. But as always, I've said it before and I want to say it again, and I think it has a right to be said all the time. I pray that this series achieves inspiring you all to pick up the book of to pick up a book dedicated to the seerah, to the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and read it in completion so that you further equip yourself with inspirational moments, because this is the reality of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. Brothers and sisters in Islam, the passing away of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes us realize many ayat in the Quran. From them, the verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كل شيء هالك إلا وجهه له الحكم وإليه ترجعون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Qasas, everything will perish except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything that exists comes with an expiry date, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is from ever and is forever subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, له الحكم وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. That His is the decision, is the law, is the rule, and to Him shall everyone return. The passing away of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the most beloved to Allah, also highlights to us another verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. Subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, everything will perish save the face of your Lord, full of majesty and honor, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remain forever. Brothers and sisters in Islam, how can this topic be an easy one? How can it be an easy one when it is a topic dedicated towards our beloved, our master, our teacher, our leader, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? This is a topic that is about our beloved departing this world. Brothers and sisters in Islam, honestly, every speech in front of this speech is an easy one. Honestly. And I can even say by Allah, every test in front of this test is an easy one. Every difficulty of life in front of the difficulty of losing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is an easy one. And I swear by Allah in terms of what I say, and I don't take this oath lightly. I take this oath with knowledge, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described death as a musibah, as a disaster. And if death is a disaster, then what about the death of Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Subhanallah. In terms of death being a disaster, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this in the Quran, in his book, in Surah Al-Ma'idah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَصَابَتْكُمْ مُصِيبَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Subhanallah, when the musibah, when the difficulty, the disaster of death befalls you. So if death, I say this again, if death is a musibah and a disaster and a difficulty, then what level of a catastrophe would we place the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam at, brothers and sisters in Islam? Subhanallah, when you think of death being a disaster, and then you attach this reality to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, think of the fact that when he passed away sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this marked an end to revelation, subhanallah, to ayat descending from the heavens onto earth. When he passed away sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this marked the event of the doors of communication, of revelation being shut between the heavens and the earth. No doubt, alhamdulillah, revelation has taught us that we can still communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through dua, and we've discussed the lesson of dua throughout the different seasons of blast from the past, alhamdulillah. Brothers and sisters in Islam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah shower upon him the best of praises and salutations. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. For by Allah I testify that he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he conveyed the message. And I testify that he kept nothing a secret. And I testify that he stood and never sat in ensuring that his ummah, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, those who he met and those who he wished to meet, that they got the maximum from his prophethood sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I testify that he strove in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I testify that he stood the night in prayer as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to do when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, Ya ayyuhal muzammil, qumil layla illa qaleela. I testify that he advised the ummah. And I testify that there was nothing bad except he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, warned us against it. And that there was nothing good except he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, advised us towards it and called us towards it and commanded us to it. And I testify that he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, completed with diligence the deliverance of the message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala passed on to him and entrusted him to deliver. And he himself, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, bore witness that he did indeed pass the message during his farewell hajj, during his hajj, when he said to the people, and when he announced to Allah that I have conveyed the message, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Brothers and sisters in Islam, when we hear all this, we realize, subhanallah, that he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was nothing but a mercy to everything in creation. He was a mercy during his living, before prophethood and after prophethood. And not just in his living, brothers and sisters in Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a mercy to his people, to us, to his ummah, even during his dying. Even during his dying, he was a mercy. I'll explain why. Let's talk about his living. For during his living, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, that we've not sent you except as a mercy to the worlds. And regarding his passing away, brothers and sisters in Islam, then he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, as is established in a narration in Sunan Ibn Majah, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ, O mankind, أَيُّمَا أَحَدٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ أَوْ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أُصِيبَ بِمُصِيبَ, if there's anyone from mankind or from the believers who have been afflicted with a catastrophe, with a difficulty, with a test, فَلْيَتَعَزَّ بِمُصِيبَتِهِ بِي, Subhanallah, عَنِ الْمُصِيبَةِ الَّتِي تُصِيبُ, he should take ease, he should take consolation by benchmarking the difficulty that he's going through to the difficulty of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam passing away. Meaning he should benchmark his difficulty against, in the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, against me passing away. Subhanallah. Allati tusibuhu bighayri, fa inna ahadan min ummati lay yusab bi musibatin ba'di ashadd alayhi min musibati. Subhanallah. He says that no one from his ummah, no one from his people will ever face a difficulty greater than the difficulty of him sallallahu alayhi wasallam passing away, the catastrophe of him passing away sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So subhanallah, look how he is a mercy to us whilst he was alive, and he was is a mercy to us, subhanallah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, after he passed away, that he is teaching us that what he went through and what has happened as a result of him going through it and passing away and returning to Allah, we should look at this and take ease from it and understand that the difficulty we're going through by Allah isn't that bad. And what is he teaching us, brothers and sisters in Islam? He's teaching us that there's no greater difficulty than being tested in your religion. This is what he's teaching us. I wanted to share this at the end, but I might as well share it now. There's no greater test. There's no greater test than being tested with your faith and him passing away, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, marked the beginning of trials and tribulations upon the faith of the people that he left behind. His team, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, and those to come after them. Brothers and sisters in Islam, in terms of the passing away of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the final moments of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was given many signs, many messages, coded messages, that his time was coming to an end. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already revealed, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ, that indeed you, O Muhammad, will die and they all will die. And he also revealed, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا جَعَلْنَا لِبَشَرٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ الْخُلْدِ أَفَإِن مِتَّ فَهُمُ الْخَالِدُونَ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Subhanallah. In Surah Al-Anbiya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals, he says, we never made for any human being eternity. We never made for any human being to live in eternity. And if you pass away, you've passed away, will it be that they will remain forever? No. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every soul shall taste death. Every soul shall taste death. It's not personal, brothers and sisters in Islam. It's physics. It's physics. Everything in creation comes into existence with an expiry date. And as the poet said, الْمَوْتُ بَابٌ وَكُلُّ النَّاسِ دَاخِلُهُ. Death is a door and everyone will walk through that door. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also revealed already before the passing away of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ أَفَإِن مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ انْقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ. Allah already revealed, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ, there's nothing about Muhammad except that he's a messenger. قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ, messengers came before him and they went back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their time expired and they returned. أَفَإِن مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ انْقَلَبْتُمْ, if he passes away or he he dies, are you going to turn back on your heels and turn back on Islam? Subhanallah. And also Allah revealed, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا Surah Al-Nasr. And we discussed this during previous episodes. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed and said that when the help of Allah comes and the opening of Makkah arrives and you see people entering Islam in droves, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ Glorify your Lord with the praises of your Lord. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ And seek forgiveness. For indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who accepts our repentance. And subhanallah, regarding this particular surah, Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, the son of the second caliph of Islam, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu an, he says radiallahu an, that regarding these ayat, he says it was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam during the days of Tashriq, the 11th and 12th. And 13th of Dhul Hijjah, of the farewell Hajj, whilst the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was performing his Hajj, and it was known when it was revealed that the departure of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was imminent, was close. In fact, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, this young boy, was asked by Umar radiallahu an, when Suratul Nasr was revealed, about his thoughts about these verses. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, even though a young boy, he said to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu an, that I understand from this surah that the departure of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is close. This is with regards to the Quran. He was also hinting sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his own speech to his companions. For when he sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal to Yemen, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam advised him in terms of what to do and what not to do. And then he said to Mu'adh, perhaps we will not meet after this year. Subhanallah. Mu'adh never heard this from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam before. So Mu'adh cried at this, subhanallah. And our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as he always did, he consoled him and said that, O Mu'adh, the first people for me will be the muttaqoon. The first people for me will be the muttaqoon. He was consoling him, telling him that the first people, the people that will be first, will have a right to me, will be the people of taqwa. And we are in a month of taqwa, begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from the muttaqoon, to make us from the people of taqwa. So at least we also can be first in line with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and meet our beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Like this, in terms of his speech to Mu'adh, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam also said to his daughter, he told her a secret that made her cry. And she did not reveal the secret until the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away. And then when he passed away, she said that she cried as her father whispered to her that he was going to depart and go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. And in Tirmidhi, in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, a book of hadith, Jabir radiallahu anhu, he says that it is also reported, that Jabir radiallahu anhu was told by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam the same thing that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to Mu'adh ibn Jabal. So the point is, these hints were being shared with the Sahaba in some capacity by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and prior to these hints already there were verses in the Quran. Now, in terms of his actual passing away, brothers and sisters in Islam, subhanallah, where can we start? Where can we start? Perhaps we should start with the month of Rabi'ul Awwal. Rabi'ul Awwal, Muharram, Safar, Rabi'ul Awwal, the third month of the Islamic calendar. For this was the month in which he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was born. And as we discussed in season 2, this was the month in which he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, migrated. And also, this was the month, brothers and sisters in Islam, in which the sickness that led to his death spiraled and spiked. And thus, it was also the month in which he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, passed away. He also passed away during the month of Rabi'ul Awwal. Now, the cause of the sickness is known, because it is established in an authentic narration, in a narration by Aisha radiallahu anha, in a narration by Anas radiallahu anha as well. They say that this sickness was the result of a meal which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam partook of in Khaybar. And we discussed this in previous episodes. Now in season 4, we discussed this meal, the poisoned meal that was presented to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the companions, and they made an extra effort to poison the shoulder of the animal, because they knew that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam loved the shoulder. And when he ate this meat, miraculously by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the meat spoke to him and informed him, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded his companions to refrain. We discussed this during previous episodes in the season, and what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did with the people of Khaybar after that, the Jews of Khaybar after that. So this sickness was a result of that particular meal, as we see in the narration of Aisha radiallahu anha and Anas radiallahu anha. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as a result of passing away because of this poisoned meat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised his status and gave him a title which he didn't have before, and that is the title of being a shaheed, being a martyr. Yes, brothers and sisters in Islam, with this act, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not only blessed to be a prophet and blessed to be a messenger and blessed to be Khalilullah and blessed to be the best of all messengers, enjoying a rank above Ibrahim alaihi salam. He also sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away as a shaheed, having his ranks raised even further. Why? Because of his patience through the many sufferings and the ill health that he experienced as a result of this poison. Now, brothers and sisters in Islam, we discussed how some of the companions passed away soon after eating this meat. But as we can see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed something else for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for he lived a longer time after consuming this poison. He lived to enjoy the opening of Mecca. He lived to perform the farewell hajj, and he lived to see Islam reigning king across the Arabian Peninsula. And also, he lived long enough to see empires like the Romans and the Persians having a real fear for Islam and the Muslims. Now we've discussed Rabiul Awwal. Let's zoom in further. If we zoom in further, we have to zoom into the day. Which day can we discuss? Where would we begin in terms of the days, brothers and sisters in Islam? Well, let's zoom into Thursday, Yawm Al-Khamis. Why do I choose Yawm Al-Khamis? Why do I choose Thursday? I choose Thursday because of a narration that Ibn Kathir rahimahullah mentions regarding Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. He says that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma once sat in the masjid, in Masjidul Haram, flicking stones. And as he flicked these stones, he kept on repeating, Al-Khamis, Al-Khamis. And what will make you understand? Wama adraka yawm al-Khamis. What will make you understand the reality of Thursday? For it was Thursday when the sickness of death visited Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This sickness, brothers and sisters in Islam, visited the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam after he returned from the burial of one of his companions. And Aisha radiallahu anha narrates in a hadith that is in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, she says that he sallallahu alayhi wasallam returned home and she complained to him of a headache that she was having. She had a severe headache that at that time, and she complained to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of her headache, and he replied back to her complaining of his headache, and that his headache was even more severe than her headache. Subhanallah, indeed it was, brothers and sisters in Islam, for this headache wasn't just any headache, this was the headache of death. The headache of death had arrived. And in an acceptable narration in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, we know that Imam Ahmad, he doesn't stipulate that a narration needs to be authentic as per Bukhari and Muslim, or to the level of authenticity stipulated by Bukhari and Muslim. But Imam Ahmad, he placed in his Musnad narrations that are salihun lil-ihtijaj, as he said to his son when his son asked him about the reality of the narrations that he chose for his Musnad. Salihun lil-ihtijaj means he placed all narrations that he felt were acceptable to use as evidence. In the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, we have an acceptable narration by Abu Muwahiba, in which he says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called him and asked him to make his animal ready, to prepare his mount, because he wanted to travel out. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then got onto his mount and he went to the martyrs of Uhud. And Abu Muwahiba says, I followed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and I saw him at Uhud bidding the martyrs farewell. Subhanallah. And I heard him announcing that he bears witness that the martyrs of Uhud were indeed martyrs. And then he says, he turned to Abu Muwahiba and he says to him, Ya Aba Muwahiba, I have been given a choice between the keys of this world and the keys of the hereafter. So Abu Muwahiba says, choose the keys of the dunya, O Messenger of Allah, and stay with us as much as you can. And then afterwards you can choose the hereafter. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said no. And three times he said, I choose the companions of the elevated. إِلَى الرَّفِيقِ الْأَعْلَى. I choose the companionship of the elevated. I choose the companionship of the elevated. Subhanallah. Now, despite all this, brothers and sisters in Islam, he's preparing to leave. He's feeling feverish. He's feeling the headache of death. Subhanallah. We see his da'wah continuing. He never stopped his mission. He continued with his mission. For subhanallah, during these severe moments, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us so much. From them, meaning from the lessons, we have the lesson that we find in the hadith of Uqba ibn Amir in Sahih al-Bukhari, in which he states that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed them after he came back from Uhud. So in his sickness, he went to Uhud. And now he comes back and he says to his companions, مَا أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمُ الْفَقْرِ. I don't fear for you poverty. وَلَكِنْ أَخَافُ أَن تُفْتَحَ عَلَيْكُمُ الدُّنْيَا. I fear, what I truly fear is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opening the world and its treasures and its riches upon you. فَتَنَافَسُوهَا كَمَا تَنَافَسُوهَا. And then you start competing in gathering the treasures of this world, like the people before you competed in gathering the treasures of this world. And this will destroy you like it destroyed them. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Hadid, they became victims of time. فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدْ فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Subhanallah. وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. When you become a victim of time and you become a follower of this life and all that, and your paradigms in terms of success and failure are governed by worldly paradigms, then what happens? Your heart becomes hardened. And when the heart becomes hardened, you fall into sin. Subhanallah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam teaches his companions this whilst he's feeling the sicknesses of death. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The sickness of our beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam intensified, brothers and sisters in Islam, to the extent that he found it difficult to do that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the believers to do. If they married more than one wife, they had to be fair in terms of the nights that they spent with their wives. They had to be equal in terms of distributing the nights. He sallallahu alayhi wasallam, despite his weaknesses, despite his illnesses, despite his pains, despite his troubles, he was giving every wife their due. But then it got to a stage where it got too much for him sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and thus he asked his wives, he asked them, where should he go? This was from his good manners. Subhanallah. He didn't say, I would like to just remain in the house of the daughter of Abu Bakr, in the house of Aisha radiallahu anh, in the house of the daughter of my best friend. He didn't say that. Rather, his good character shines even though he's going through the difficulties of death. He asked his wife, where should I go? And they, subhanallah, understood what he was asking. So they told him, go to the house of Aisha, and we are pleased for you to go to the house of Aisha. And he was carried to the house of Aisha by Abbas and Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhum ajma'in. The sicknesses continue to intensify. And then Monday, the death day approaches. And Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anh, he says in a hadith that is in the authentic books of hadith, he says the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam complained, or he spoke of his pain. And he said that his pain is the equivalent of the pain of two men. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. And despite this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said after this that nothing affects a believer except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses his patience over the difficulty to remove his sins, to remove his errors, to remove his mistakes. Subhanallah. This wasn't a complaint. This was a lesson. This was a lesson when he is telling his companions that I feel double the pain you feel. He wasn't complaining. He used it as a means of sharing a lesson and to teach us the importance of patience. And it's authentically reported, brothers and sisters in Islam, in terms of this pain being double the pain of any other man, it is authentically reported that they had to pour water 7 times over the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam whilst he was in the house of Aisha radiallahu anha to cool him down given the severe heat that was emanating from his body sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, because of this fever, brothers and sisters in Islam, and this is established in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, two authentic books of hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam couldn't come out to lead the salah. So he commanded that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu does so. And everyone was astonished. because they felt that Abu Bakr is too soft and he used to cry a lot. Will he manage to lead the prayer? Knowing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the imam, and the only reason why the Prophet can't be here is because he is feeling severe pain and going through a severe illness. But the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam insisted and gave it to Abu Bakr and insisted that Abu Bakr lead. And subhanAllah, this was a subtle message to the ummah that after I pass away, I choose Abu Bakr to be my leader. For those who understand, for the people of fiqh, for the people who ponder. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after some time, he felt slightly stronger. And after they poured water over him, he felt that he had the strength, with difficulty, but he had enough strength to go to the musalla. And when he went to the musalla, Abu Bakr attempted to step back, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him a sign to continue. And it is said that our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat on the left side of Abu Bakr radiallahu an, and Abu Bakr led the prayer. Now, despite all his pains and weaknesses, we said, that he was a teacher. Despite his pains and weaknesses, he was also inspirational. Brothers and sisters in Islam, despite everything, he attended the jama'ah and he continued to teach the ummah. He taught the ummah and he taught the ummah and he taught the ummah. I shared with you what he taught previously. He taught some more things, brothers and sisters in Islam. He taught the ummah during his pangs of death and difficult moments not to make his grave a podium of worship after him. During his illnesses, he taught the ummah the importance of patience through adversity. He taught the ummah that they should hold steadfast onto the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran. He taught the ummah whilst the rows were being straightened, whilst he was weak and sat, letting Abu Bakr lead the prayer, that they shouldn't read Quran in ruku and sujood. That ruku and sujood is a place of glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not a place for reading Quran. He taught them and he taught us, brothers and sisters in Islam, to hold steadfast onto the Quran. He taught us who the next leader will be. In effect, he also taught us the importance of salah and being excellent with our salah and being excellent with the slaves generally, and particularly the female slaves, subhanallah. And he also taught the sahaba and taught us as a result the importance of taking care of the rights of other people. For it is authentically established that during his dire difficulty, he asked all those that he may have harmed to come and redeem themselves. That if he did anything wrong to them, come and take your right from me now before I return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He instructed all those that he may have borrowed money from to be paid back. And subhanallah, he had nothing. When he passed away, even his body armor was used as financial security for 30 sa', which is just under, let's say, 90 kilograms, if I use conservative estimates, 90 kilograms of a type of food that he had taken and not paid for, so that his family could have food to eat. And he left as security that if the payment doesn't arrive, then you liquidate this body armor for the amount that equates to the food that was taken. This was his reality, brothers and sisters in Islam. Through his difficulty, he freed his slaves and he advised everyone never to forget the character and service of the Ansar and what will make us understand, subhanallah, who were the Ansar. He continued being a mercy to the world's brothers and sisters in Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather us with him in paradise even until his last day and his last breath, subhanallah. Are we running out of time? So I'm going to fast forward, brothers and sisters in Islam. In terms of his last day, then this is the day, as I said, the day of the greatest trial that this ummah will ever face. And Anas ibn Malik narrates that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he opened his curtain and he looked into the masjid and he saw the sahaba preparing for salah behind Abu Bakr. Now, some sources say that this was at the time of the Fajr prayer. Some sources say that this was at the time of the Dhuhr prayer. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam opened and he saw this and he became pleased and he smiled at them and he smiled so amazingly that Abu Bakr felt that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is better, and he immediately attempted to place himself in the row, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in pain. But they couldn't see that pain, and he told Abu Bakr to continue, or he signaled for Abu Bakr to continue leading the prayer. It is said that after the prayer, Abu Bakr comes to the house of Aisha immediately, happy that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is feeling better, only to learn of the reality of his circumstance and situation. And this should teach us, brothers and sisters in Islam, that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sees his team Remember, we spoke about his ultimate vision, and then he had a closer vision because the life that he was going to be given wasn't big enough to achieve the ultimate vision. He didn't have enough years to see Islam get to the four corners of the world, but he had enough life to create a team that will take Islam to the four corners of the world. When he sees them together, united, behind Abu Bakr, in the prayer, the greatest act after the Shahada, and he smiles despite his pain, despite his fever, despite his headache, despite his difficulty, this should, subhanAllah, make us realize how important salah is, and how important unity is, and how important salah in congregation is, brothers and sisters in Islam. Anas radiallahu anhu says that was his last day, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And there's a little disagreement regarding this, brothers and sisters in Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he laid in the house of Aisha radiallahu anha, very weak, feeling the pangs of death. He laid in her lap with his head between her cheek and her neck. Subhanallah. So you can imagine him sitting on her lap with his head, or by her lap with his head between her neck and her cheek. Subhanallah. And he faces the pangs of death. And Abu Bakr and his son, radiallahu anhum ajma'een, they walk in to visit him. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's eye falls upon a miswak that the son of Abu Bakr is using. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she knew her husband very well. Subhanallah. In Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim, she explains that she asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, "Is that what you want?" And she said, "Yes." So she took a miswak and then she bit it with her mouth. She wet it with her saliva to soften it, and then she placed it in the mouth of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. That at his dying moments, her saliva was mixed with his saliva on his death day and deathbed, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then she says that there was a container near him, and he would dip his hand into the container, and then he would rub, and then he would say, subhanallah, la ilaha illallah, inna lil mawti la sakarat, la ilaha illallah, indeed death has pangs, death has difficulties, death has agonies, death has pains. And then, subhanallah, she says, he pointed upwards and he kept saying, "Let me join the highest companions, ila al-rafiq al-a'la, ila al-rafiq al-a'la." He kept on repeating it, "Let me join the highest companions," meaning he was choosing, meaning he was giving the angel of death permission that it's time, let me go, I choose to go. And subhanallah, she says, he kept on saying this until his hand dropped, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And just like that, the biggest calamity that we would ever face took place, and the doors between the heavens and the earth were shut. Subhanallah. Such a calamity, brothers and sisters in Islam. Such a calamity that the best from amongst us slipped. Like Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, when the word got out that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away, honestly, the Sahaba, it affected them in different ways. Some fell to the ground, like they did at Uhud when the rumors went about that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away. They dropped to the ground. They couldn't find weight in their feet to hold up their body. They dropped to the ground. Some just went into their homes. And Umar, he lost it as well. He came to the people and he said that the Prophet hasn't passed away, but rather he has done what Musa did when Musa left Harun and went to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 40 days. And whoever says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has passed away, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam will come and deal with them. So Umar was speaking loud and speaking his mind. And Abu Bakr, when he found out that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away, like a leader, he came out of his home. Some sources say that he was by his home. Some sources say he was in another place. He got onto his animal and he rode to the masjid, and he came into the room of Aisha and he uncovered the face of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and confirmed that he passed away, and he kissed his forehead and he said, "Tibta hayyan wa mayyitan." He said, "You are blessed and pure and beautiful when you are alive and even after you pass away." And then Abu Bakr walks out, subhanallah, and Umar is speaking at the top of his voice, and Abu Bakr tells Umar to sit down, and subhanallah, Umar refuses and carries on. Abu Bakr ignores him and he turns to the people and he says to the people that, "Oh people, whoever worships Muhammad, then Muhammad has passed away. And whoever worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah is perpetually alive and will never die. Al-hayy alladhi la yamut." And then he recites, "Wama Muhammadun illa rasul, qad khalat min qablihi ar-rusul." The verses from the fourth juz that I shared with you earlier, that there was nothing about Muhammad except that he's a messenger, and messengers before him came and went. And Umar radiallahu anhu, when he heard these verses, he he just collapsed upon himself, subhanallah, and he explains and expresses that I read these verses time and time again, but when Abu Bakr recited it that day, I felt like those verses were revealed for the first time, meaning I never understood those verses as I understood it that day, subhanallah. So this is the long and short, brothers and sisters in Islam, of the passing away of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I have to stop here and go into the lessons because we have gone over time. Let's go quickly into the lessons, brothers and sisters in Islam, because this is a fiqh of seerah series and this is our last pit stop. Very quickly, brothers and sisters in Islam, lesson number one, death is a rule. It's not a personal vendetta. It will happen to everybody. It will happen to everybody, and it's important that whenever someone is taken away from us, especially if they're taken away from us suddenly, that we don't forget this reality. And we allow this knowledge to keep us together upon our faith, upon the way that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not cause us to act in a way that constitutes the way of the disbelievers, those who don't believe in life after death, or those who don't believe in Allah the way He deserves to be believed in. So when remember this, brothers and sisters in Islam, as we said, death is a door and everyone will walk through it. Lesson number two, death has pangs. Death has difficulties, and we should remember this when we're meeting a person on his or her deathbed, and we should behave appropriately and not add to the difficulty by speaking about things that shouldn't be spoken about, by saying things that do not need to be mentioned. They are already in agony, they are already in difficulty. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most beloved to Allah, the best of all creation, he went through it, brothers and sisters in Islam, and thus realize that the agonies and pains of death will happen to everyone, and it doesn't necessarily mean punishment. Rather, it means it is an opportunity from Allah, a mercy from Allah, to allow our sins to be forgiven and our ranks to be raised. And this is similar to the squeezing of the grave. For the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us that everyone, once they put into their grave, the grave will squeeze them. And the scholars have said that for the righteous ones, the squeezing is a squeezing of forgiving their sins. And if they have no sins, then the squeezing is a squeezing of their ranks being raised in Jannah. So it's a squeezing which is a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a mercy upon the righteous. The pangs of death, the squeezing of the grave, is a mercy from Allah amongst the righteous. And it is a punishment, no doubt, for those who aren't righteous. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause us to live upon iman and pass away upon iman. Lesson number three, brothers and sisters in Islam, death has a means. Death has a means. As with everything in life, with every effect in life, there's a cause. That is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the life of this world. It's a matter of physics. There's nothing wrong in asking what was the cause of death. Because sometimes we say, what was the cause of death? And somebody says, don't ask, it was time. It was the decree of Allah. No doubt it was the decree of Allah, but everything has a cause, as is the norm of the life of the world that we are in, as per the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. For the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his cause of death was the poisoned meat which he ate at Khaybar. Lesson number four, Allah controls the means. How do we know this? Because some sahaba passed away immediately after eating the meat or not long after. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived for much longer. So whilst everything has a cause, everything is a means, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who controls the means. When that means will strike its blow, when that means will benefit you, and so on and so forth. All this is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all this goes back to the lesson of tawakkul and placing our trust in Allah and the pillars of tawakkul, which we've discussed in previous episodes, alhamdulillah. Also, brothers and sisters in Islam, we learn the next lesson, that the rules of Islam apply even when you're sick, even when you're ill. The rules of Islam apply. Yes, they might change. Yes, they might change. You might be excused from fasting if you're sick. You might be excused from fasting if you're traveling. You might be excused from attending the congregational prayer if you're ill or weak, and so on and so forth. But generally, the main rules apply. The salah you have to read applies. The fast that you missed, you have to do it later on when you're not a traveler and when you're better. The rules of Islam apply. And we learn this from how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam followed the rules with his wives. Even though he was sick, even though he faced extreme difficulty, he was giving them their rights until he couldn't do it no more. So he asked them their permission. He didn't lay a rule upon them. He asked them their permission and they obliged. So the rules of Islam, they last with us, brothers and sisters in Islam, till we pass away. The next lesson, there is no calamity greater than the calamity of faith. There's no calamity greater than the trial of faith, brothers and sisters in Islam. And we take this from how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself said that, you know, there's no greater calamity than him passing away sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So look after your iman, look after it with knowledge, look after it by not putting yourself in environments that test your faith, in circumstances that test your faith. Don't be overconfident, be confident, but don't be overconfident, don't be careless, right? Don't act in a way that goes against the way of the people of wisdom. Protect your faith at every cost, every step of the way, brothers and sisters in Islam. The next lesson, da'wah continues. Look how much the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught. Subhanallah. He taught and taught and taught even on his deathbed. And we discussed Ya'qub alayhi salam on his deathbed when he was giving da'wah to his children, as Allah tells us in the last quarter of the first juz, إِذْ كُنْتُمْ شُهَدَاءَ إِذْ حَضَرَ يَعْقُوبَ الْمَوْتِ إِذْ قَالَ لِبَنِيهِ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِ. Allah says, were you present when death came to Ya'qub, when he was on his deathbed, when he said to his children, what will you worship after me? So da'wah continues, brothers and sisters in Islam. And if Allah gives us life and we go through the seerah of Abu Bakr and the surah of Umar, when Umar passed away, he took from the light of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for Umar was stabbed, and as he was bleeding, a young man came to see him. He was bleeding to death. A young man came to see him, and Umar was busy trying to effect the next steps in terms of who will lead the Muslims after him. And a young man comes to him with his lower garment below his ankles. And Umar, despite bleeding, despite having so much to do, despite being on his way out of this life to the next, he says to this boy, Yabna Akhi, O son of my brother, Irfa' thawbak, lift your thawb, fa'innahu atqa li rabbik, for indeed Allah loves that you do so, wa abqa li thawbik, and your thawb will last longer as well, if you don't let it drag on the ground. Subhanallah, how perfect is this da'wah? A man is dying, and he does da'wah, and not just in any way, with all the pillars of da'wah, in the most perfect way. We can have a 1 hour lecture just on the statement, Yabna Akhi, Irfa' thawbak, fa'innahu atqa li rabbik, wa abqa li thawbik, but that's for another day, inshallah. The next lesson, brothers and sisters in Islam, look after the rights of Allah. And the greatest rights is the salah. And look after the rights of the creation of Allah. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said on his deathbed, As-salatu as-salah, wa ma malakat aymanukum. I remind you to the salah. Don't waste the salah. Hold steadfast onto the salah. Wa ma malakat aymanukum. And be good to your female slaves. And we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam freed his slaves. And we know that Islam came with the system to abolish slavery, but it came with a sustainable way, because slavery existed before Islam. But Islam came with the rules and regulations to manage the situation until the situation could be dissolved in totality. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I pondered over this, brothers and sisters in Islam. Why these two pieces of advice? Because brothers and sisters in Islam, if you look at the two pieces of advice, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is basically telling us, look after the rights of Allah and look after the rights of the creation of Allah. Make sure you do that throughout your life, and you will be successful when you pass away. For when you get to Allah, you will have little to answer for. And if you look after the rights of the people, nobody will come to Allah on the day of Qiyamah saying that you oppressed them. Subhanallah. So look after the rights of Allah. Look after the rights of the servants of Allah until you breathe your last, brothers and sisters in Islam. Now, the next lesson. Bismillah, the etiquettes of visiting the sick, because we see how Aisha radiallahu anha was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and how the companions were. They knew he was sick. They weren't coming to his home and sitting in his home and flooding his home. They were going about their way, and they were trying to keep up with the latest information about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we see Aisha radiallahu anha speaking less, and when she sees the miswak, she asks the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam if he wants the miswak, and she's being sensitive and tentative to his actions, so she can understand exactly what he's saying. And we touched on this earlier, that when you visit a sick person, facilitate their departure to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and don't be an impediment to it being as successful as it can be. Also, brothers and sisters in Islam, we learn how to deal with the shock of losing someone. We have Umar, who went one way, radiallahu an. And then we had Abu Bakr, who went another way, radiallahu an. And also through this, we learned the strength of Abu Bakr, radiallahu an. That Abu Bakr, some people say he was a weaker character to Umar, but by Allah, he was a stronger character than Umar. He was a stronger character than Umar. And even during, when the Sahaba went to the outskirts, to Saqifa bani Sa'ida, when they went out to discuss who should be the next lead, and Abu Bakr said, Umar, I choose Umar, let's give the Pledge of Allegiance to Umar. And Umar said, no, it will be to you, and I will not accept it, and I will give it to you. And Abu Bakr said, you are stronger. No, by Allah, Abu Bakr was stronger. Abu Bakr was stronger. What he did when the Prophet ﷺ passed away, brothers and sisters, in Islam, you could say is miraculous. Subhanallah. The presence of mind, the presence of thought, the knowledge of the Quran, the ability to deduce, the ability to share, to speak like a leader. Radiallahu an. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather us with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions in the hereafter. Ameen. The next lesson, brothers and sisters in Islam. Taraktu fikum ma in tamassaktum bihi lan tadillu ba'di abada. Kitab Allahi wa sunnati. The teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told the people to hold steadfast onto the Quran. He said, hold steadfast onto the Quran. And also, if we look at the narration that I just shared, the sunnah. He said, I have left with you two things, the Quran and the sunnah. If you hold steadfast upon them both, you will never ever go astray. Brothers and sisters in Islam, hold steadfast onto the Quran and Sunnah. And we've said this time and time again. Hold steadfast onto the evidence. Look at Umar. Umar was saying what he was saying, but when the evidence came to him, look how he submitted. And this is what it's about, brothers and sisters in Islam. Submitting to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the moment that you are in. This is what Islam means, this istislam, this submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the moment that you are in. If it's good for me, I will say it. If it's good for me, I will do it. If it's not good for me, I will refrain from it. It doesn't, meaning if it's pleasing to Allah, I will say it and do it. And if it's not, I will not do it. It doesn't matter what I think or what other people think. I have submitted to Allah. I've not submitted to my desires. I've not submitted to the peer pressure of the people around me. This is Islam, brothers and sisters in Islam, and this is what we learn in leaps and bounds, subhanallah, even with the passing away of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, just a couple of things to add, brothers and sisters in Islam. This wasn't part of the passing away of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but it's attached. How the Muslims chose Abu Bakr and how Abu Bakr didn't want the leadership. This teaches us, brothers and sisters in Islam, don't seek leadership for the sake of leadership. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. And if you humble yourself and it's given to you by force, Allah will assist you in it. Subhanallah. And also, do not act in a matter concerning other people except after shura. And we learn this from how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was buried. For the Sahaba did not touch his body to bury him until the pledge of allegiance was given to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. They chose a leader before a decision was made on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and where to bury him and when to bury him and so on and so forth. Because no doubt this is a matter that concerns the believers. So they chose the leader, and then the leader did the shura. And with that, they decided on the resting place of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there he rests in Medina, in the home of what was the home of Aisha radiallahu anha. He was buried, as the scholars of Islam say, in a grave that had a lahad. A lahad means it had a compartment. So you dig down a few meters, and then you dig a compartment at the bottom of the grave, on one part of the grave, and then you placed in that compartment, and then it's covered with, it is said that they covered his compartment with stones, some say 7 stones, and then they filled the grave with dirt. But this was all done after Abu Bakr was chosen and shura took place. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Brothers and sisters in Islam, it was a marathon session. There's so much to discuss, subhanallah, but we get to a point where we say, Alhamdulillah, bini'matihi tatimu salihat. Allah has indeed honored me. Wallahi, He has. He has honored me to complete this 4-part series. It's several hours, close to 100 hours across, subhanallah, 4 Ramadans. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this series for His sake alone. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from me and us, to forgive us for any mistakes in our intentions or in any mistakes in the information that has been shared therein across 4 seasons of Blast from the Past. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the series a means for our forgiveness and a means for us to have a home in the neighborhood of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Al-Firdaus. Ameen ya Rabb. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the series benefit the lives of countless people, to bring them closer to the sunnah and the seerah through the series, ya Rabb. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially given that I am right now in the last few moments of my Ramadan, and I'm sure some of you are as well. I honestly, brothers and sisters in Islam, as I speak to you, there's literally just a few breaths between myself and Ramadan coming to an end. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at this joyous, precious time to accept our Ramadan, to make it our best month ever, to make us from amongst those who stood the month and fasted the month and stood the night of power and decree and virtue with iman and good hope in the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and good thoughts about Allah. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those that witnessed the night of power and those who received the prize of the night of Laylatul Qadr. Ameen. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with many, many, many more Ramadans whilst we are in good health and good life. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to write our names from amongst the names of the muttaqoon, the righteous ones, the accepted ones, the successful ones, the forgiven ones. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Brothers and sisters in Islam, I love you all for the sake of Allah. And ask Allah to gather us together again around the inheritance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For everything being shared was his inheritance sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the gathering, meaning to grant us a physical gathering between me and you one day, so at least we can benefit each other whilst we are face to face. Alhamdulillah, we always say Alhamdulillah, we know the situation in the globe today, but we thank Allah for allowing us to be together virtually. But we also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us to be together physically in this life before we pass away. And when we pass away, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather us in Al-Firdaus. Therein, inshallah, we can sit and chat with one another about our series together across different Ramadans, and how inshallah this series was a means for us to be together in the hereafter in the neighborhood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And perhaps we can go and meet him and tell him how we used to study about him during some of the Ramadans when we used to be alive. Allahumma lakal hamd kama yanbaghi li jalali wajhik wa azim sultanik, lakal hamd hatta tarda wa lakal hamd idha radit wa lakal hamd ba'da ar-ridha. Allahumma lakal hamd wa lakal shukr wa lakal thana ul hasan. Allahumma salli ala nabiyyina Muhammad ما ذكره الذاكرون الأبرار، وصلي على نبينا محمد ما تعاقب الليل والنهار، وصلي على نبينا محمد وعلى المهاجرين والأنصار، وسلم تسليما كثيرا. Until next time, brothers and sisters in Islam, تقبل الله منا ومنكم صالح الأعمال. May Allah accept from us. May Allah preserve us in His obedience. آمين. وصلي اللهم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. وسلام الله عليكم ورحمته وبركاته.